Welcome to Love, Dating, and Chaos with Felicity Reakin. I've been thinking, because you know, that's what I do. I do a lot of that, I think. Are these struggles that I'm having and other people are having within the dating realm, is it maybe just for us straight people? Or is this a common theme across the board? And is dating maybe easier if you are queer in any form? So I got some friends in and asked them some questions. Tanya and Marlo are two of my friends that I met through, guess who? My bestie, Stacey. Their love is beautiful, but I wanted to know more. How does it start? How did you guys get to meet each other? And then obviously, like, is it easier if you're queer? There are no normal men.
I'm sure there are.
Where?
You phone SARS, you go, hey, who filed 2 weeks before the deadline? Start there.
Now, firstly, that is actually a genius idea. I don't think SARS will give you the information, but that is a very good idea, actually.
I think they are. I think they're just not something we actively crave. I think there's a sense of like, ooh, I want this to be exciting and all of those things. And I look at people who pick men up at the gym.
What? Do people actually do that?
It's not a sport time.
Do people actually do that?
I'm pretty sure that's the only reason people go to gym.
You pick up people. Why are you talking to other people at the gym? I don't understand that.
I've heard it's a thing other people do. I mean, going to the gym in general. Other people do. But it's like, oh, there was this guy at the gym. And to me, it's like, if I had to go find a guy at the gym, he's the one stretching before the intermediate spin class.
Really?
Like, there are normal guys. I think we just so very often go, that's boring.
Okay. I hear you. But I'm too old for not boring. I want boring. I want boring-esque. I don't want somebody that's dull.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily want somebody who's going to be like, hey, babe, let's go on a murder rampage. Because I listen to enough podcasts to know that that doesn't end well, generally. So, you know, I mean, I could get away with a lot of stuff because I listen to a lot of murder podcasts. Just saying.
word of warning.
I think I figured out why you can't find a man.
Whoa, that is... They're all dead because I've killed them. Okay, I want to know your relationship history, how you got to where you are, and what made you go, this person.
I don't have a particularly colourful relationship history. I think in terms of Marlo, I had one long relationship that just was wrong. We didn't know each other very well. It lasted for 7 years. And when that ended, I was kind of like, I'm done. It's not worth it. So I kind of walked away from even thinking about a relationship.
Okay.
And then I moved back to Joburg for work. And Marlo and I started working together. And one day it just dawned on me, this woman is super bright, super funny, just everything. And it grew from there. But it wasn't looking for it. It just walked in the door, quite literally. I fell in love with the person. It certainly wasn't planned. Very much the opposite.
Cool. So you've said the same thing that I said to the person previously, like, I don't want to hear. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing your amazing love story. Can we cut Tanya's mics now, Ethan? Thank you so much.
That's enough of that.
Yeah. It just happened. Okay, so... I've heard so many people say that. And I'm not going to lie. It is the most frustrating thing to hear as a single person. It is the most frustrating thing to hear that the thing that you want to happen does actually happen, but it doesn't happen to you.
I think it's also, and I think similar to you, like you crave the exciting thing. There was a bit where I mean, plot twist, when I was dating men, there was a bit where I thought my type was someone who spoke like they had abused hallucinogenics for a really long time.
Oh, good.
Just in terms of conversation.
Okay.
I don't love a slow conversation. I don't like a dull conversation. Mm. I don't want us to talk about the weather. One of the most exciting pickup lines ever used on me was, you smell like lavender fields and Labrador puppies.
Wow.
I know. And that's the kind of thing, like, I was immediately.
Yeah.
I like a little, what is, like a brain erection? Is
yes.
that a thing?
Yes.
That a thing? Like immediately. I was like, yes, this is captivating. This is exciting. And then I wrote that into my little list that you have in the back of your mind when you go, this is what I'm looking for. I was like, taller than me. Speaks like he abused drugs. Like it was on there. It was like, it was part of the list because that was one of the things that I was like, oh yes, immediately I know this is exciting.
Mm.
Where Tanya's a slow build excitement.
very, very slow.
It wasn't there immediately. And I think because we did spend a lot of time just being friends, I was still a very, very new in the industry we were in. And Tanya was the first editor to make me cry.
Oh, the first. Who else made you cry?
All right. She's out for blood now. Tanya has been the only editor to make me cry. But it was our relationship built from a very different foundation.
Mm.
I mean, she's not Ursula the Sea Witch in that way, but it was just, I'm very A-type. And the moment I didn't do something right, she was like, oh, why did you do it this way? And I was like, I don't know. But she also saw all the worst parts of me. And having a relationship built on that, because how many times have you gone to the bathroom at a man's house, put a little bit of toilet paper down before you take a tinkle? So he has no idea what water pressure you're working with. Like, I must be dainty and I must be delicate and must be like this little flower. Tanya did not have toilet paper put down before I went to the bathroom at her house. It was 100% honest. There was a morning I got to the office slightly hungover, very hungover. And she said, have you seen the news? How rough is it with the Chilean miners? And I was like, Tanya, I have not seen the news. Mm-hmm. I've spent the last 45 minutes trying to get a man called Buita or Buxton out of my apartment. But I told her all of those things. She knew all of those things. And she still found it in her heart to fall in love with me.
The like, sacrifices you make.
But I think the reverse was also, some dodgy dude. I think the reverse was also true. Because we were friends first, we didn't try and present our best selves to each other.
So it was authentic.
Yeah.
It was authentic from the get-go. I find it so incredibly hard because I'm not going to pick up someone at the gym. By the way, I do sometimes go to the gym. When I say sometimes, I mean like once every 3 months, I'm like, I'm going back to the gym. And then I go for a week and then I'm like, yes, fitness queen. And then I move on. Anyway, so I'm a lot on dating apps and it is the weight of the conversations that I have to carry because if it's day three and you message me and go, hi, how are you? I want to literally throw my phone across the room.
Yeah, I can believe.
There is absolutely no effort. And because I think my life is very full, I don't resonate with no effort, if that makes any sense. I don't kind of go, oh, but maybe this person is just really busy. I sincerely believe that if you are into someone, be that a friend or a relationship or whatever it is, you can find the time in your day to go, hey, I'm so sorry we haven't chatted. Having a crazy busy day. You know what I mean? A week later, you can't be like, I was having such a crazy... Please.
No.
Please. Yeah. You like, I'm not smoking crack and neither are you. So, So I don't...
Ethan will cut that from the HR file and the recording.
And burn it.
Ethan here, not going to cut that out, and I cannot confirm or deny whether or not Felicity smokes crack.
So there's all these things, and it frustrates me immensely, because it's not one person doing this, because I'm talking to multiple people. So it's multiple people doing the exact same thing, and my brain goes, how do you not see that you won't get what you want if you don't put in any work? But am I missing something? Are people still getting what they want without the effort? Is that maybe what's happening? And I'm just not aware of this.
I think a lot of people settle. They're frustrated and then they decide, well, I can't get what I want, so I'll take second best.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Or the eternal, we'll fix that later.
Yeah.
We'll get them.
This is a challenge. I'll make it right, but at least I've nabbed one. I think there's an awful lot of that going on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very scary.
Exactly.
Your life is full. You have a full home life. You don't need it. You want it. And that's already a different position to come from, right? Because between you, like you go, hey, a door fell off. I go, here's my door guy. We get him in. We don't need a
He's
man
amazing, by
on
the way.
Call.
You need my Lowe's door guy in your life, guys. I'm just saying. He's incredible.
He's obsessive about a hinge.
That's great. It's the best.
Yeah, but we have a network of, and even if you don't have that one person, if there's something that needs to happen, you could probably fix it yourself. You're a capable young woman.
That's right.
So you can fix it yourself. You've dealt with the things that people don't want to face on your own. You have a beautiful selection of crotch goblins.
I do.
who are all independent women in their own right.
Mm.
your problem is already you're not in the mood to settle. You're not in the mood, and you're definitely not in the mood to parent someone.
No.
And I think you're old and wise enough to know, even though you're only 27, that...
Say it again.
That you're not... that you're not in the business of fixing...
No.
Men.
No. No rehabilitation center here at all. No, thank you. I'm good. Yeah. I'm really good.
I think you've just hit on the real crux of the matter, is if I look back on, I mean, being gay brings a whole different element to dating.
Mm.
I fell in love with Molo.
At a time where I was wildly oblivious to the fact that this was going down.
Yeah. But I think when I finally became honest with myself, I was brought up Catholic.
Okay.
In the Free State during the apartheid era. There are a lot of elements that made it very uncool to be gay.
Mm.
So for the longest time, I was oblivious to the fact that I was gay. I knew I was, but almost like this veneer of straightness.
Gotcha.
But that being said, I think it's irrelevant, straight or gay, until you're honest with yourself, you're never going to open yourself fully to the opportunity.
See, here's my thing. So funny that you mentioned that. So as I've spent my years now looking for this elusive man, the amount of times I thought to myself and have said to my daughters, maybe I should start dating women. Maybe the person I'm looking for is not in this box, but is actually in this box. I've also decided that they are potentially like a magistrate and they wear suits. It's what they
no,
do.
No caveats no, yet. No. We're just loose thinking.
There's a little list. Okay. Because I'm like, for me, the communication is vitally important. But then I also realize it's all fine and well thinking these things, but you're not actually attracted to women. So do you know what I mean? And so it'd be fine and well for you to be somewhere and meet somebody and be like, I mean, I would literally, oh, I'm going to tell you this story. I'm going to tell it right now on this podcast. Okay, here we go. So I went to a bar in London, was hit on by two very lovely women, told them that I'm not gay, but I'm considering it. And realized the next day when the lady messaged me and said to me, hey, and I looked at the number and went, oh, I don't want to do this. I was like, what you did last night was actually cruel. Because you basically led somebody on because you were liking the attention and was feeling really nice to you. And you were like, oh, I like this. And then you needed to come to the point or to Jesus, whatever works, where you went, that's not fair on this person because you literally let them believe that this could be a possibility and you know that it can't be. And I don't like the feeling of is it desperation or so much loneliness that I'm willing to possibly manipulate and play with people just that I get the attention that I'm looking for. Don't look at me like that, girls.
No,
this is a judgment-free zone. Except for Ethan. Ethan's definitely judging.
Oh, he's always judging me.
I do think there's a crave for attention. I think to mine it was like, oh, I'm going to widen the pool to include women because I don't think we're easy. I don't think we're easy to be with.
What, as women or as people?
As women.
Oh.
I don't think it goes like, oh, yeah, well, we understand most of the same things. We've dealt with the same dilemmas. And Tanya can speak to this because she has more experience in the realm. I say more, like one more.
Yeah, barely.
but I think there are things that I think we play power games. I think we play mind games. I think we play manipulation games. I think we run circles around men in that department. Mm. And I think you bring two of those energies to the same party, it goes bunny boiler quite quickly, I think. Hashtag not an expert.
Yeah.
What our compatibility, and I think that's what it comes down to, I think like what you're initially attracted to doesn't distill down to compatibility often.
Okay.
You go, oh, this is ticking all the boxes. But a lot of those boxes are external factors, like optics.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone's cracked the code on compatibility because that's what it came down to. Tell you now, immensely compatible. It took a very long time because I had gone there are parts here that I didn't sign up for in terms of a larger, so I didn't even go, like, I didn't consider this for the longest time.
Yeah.
But you grew into a space where I was like, I cannot imagine my life without this person.
Got you.
And to have that kind of connection to someone and not give that an opportunity to be a relationship, that seemed cruel.
Got you.
Rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
And I had my wisdoms out.
I mean, I wasn't 12 at the time. I had my wisdoms out late.
Okay, before Tanya
gets before Tanya gets reported to some sort of a watch list.
This is news to me. Yes.
I just had my wisdoms out and I was lying on a couch severely medicated while she prepped the second batch of custard and jelly. She had sorted me out, pillow, blankie, heat bag for around my face, lined up every single Disney movie. And if you know me,
yes,
watching a Disney movie medicated is, I mean, bucket list
Hello.
Stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, and I was like, if Tanya had a penis, we would have been married already.
Yeah.
And I was like, but is that the only thing?
Mm.
And I mean, it does seem like a big thing. That sounded dirty now that I said it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to say anything about it, but sure.
Mm-hmm. But it was, to me, on the list of a million things I could have wished for.
Got you.
She was, quick math, 999,999 of those things.
Got you.
Got you.
Does that?
Yeah.
Should we get the people at SARS to confirm? So, yes, she was all of those things. And I was like, well, then this seems stupid.
Yeah.
And I was in the fortunate position to have had a mother who religiously said, you do not need a man in your life. You need a dependable vibrator and good garden services.
Love your mother.
And the fact that neither are scared off by an unruly bush was not her intention. I did include that into my takeaways. And then I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We can do this. Tanya and I, garden services, dependable vibrator. I think our relationship is so... I mean, I don't want to make you feel worse.
No, please.
But it is so blissful. We don't fight about the things other people fight about. We get obsessive over things that other people just kind of mull over. We've had contractors at our house while we were doing, cool, let's redo the kitchen, literally leaving saying, I've never had anyone agree on everything in a kitchen in the amount of time agreed on.
Yeah.
And it's not because we both like the same thing instantly. It's because you go, oh, I like this one, I like this one. And then there's always a middle ground between what we like that doesn't feel like a settle.
Got you.
And that's a lot to find.
See, what I'm hearing here, and I've heard it twice now, is, and it's very true, it's the settling. I think it's people who are willing to settle, understandably, because possibly they are lonely. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say desperate. I'm just going to say you're lonely.
Absolutely.
And loneliness can literally kill some people. But then it's also settling in a space where it's settling where it's compromise rather than I'm giving up something that's really important to me just so I can be with somebody. It's not doing that. It's compromising and going, this works for me and this works for you. That's amazing. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I think that there is this, particularly in the heterosexual community, I think there are so many boxes that people have built for themselves and for this dream person. And you get told, as women particularly, don't settle.
Mm.
Don't settle. But you never get told, check your boxes before you are making those decisions about settling. Because are your boxes, he is 6'5" and he is a ginger. This is a personal thing.
I mean, this is two more tick boxes away from becoming very niche, but let's go.
No, I think it's pretty niche already.
And it is a shush, Tanya. Yes, it is very niche. You need to check yourself on that, men and women, because you could literally be looking past the person or persons, because maybe that is your journey as well, that can fulfill these needs that you have in a way that is wholesome and productive to both of you, where you're not feeling like you are giving up something of yourself that is fundamentally important to you. I'm not willing to give up on any of the boxes, just saying.
But when last did you order the boxes?
Do you know, I think it'll be one of those things where when it does happen, you'll go, oh, damn it, those boxes, they don't match up. It doesn't matter what the boxes are. When it's right, it's right. Whether they tick the boxes or they not. Don't tick the boxes. When it's right, it's right.
Should I stay on the apps, though?
I
don't think you should limit
yeah.
your possibilities. I say that having come from a place where I said, oh, sod this. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm quite happy being on my own. That's where I'm happy. But you're not there. That's not what you want. You want someone, and your mission is still to get it.
Yeah.
So don't limit yourself. Stay on the apps. Do whatever. I have friends of my sister back when it wasn't even such a thing, met on an app. They have two kids. They're living their life. They've been together for ages, and they are very niche people. They live in the bush. They have very specific boxes. They found each other. They're happy. They're doing their thing.
Because the thing is, my reason for asking about the apps is because, like I said, it's often recycling not only the same people, but the same conversations. Yeah. Very frustrating. But then also I'm like, where else do you meet people? And if you say in real life, I'm going to vomit because I don't go out because my house is my safe place. No, so, and I think, and also going to like a bar.
You've just hit on one of the most, and I don't think this is about dating either. I think it's just about pure friendship. The older you get, the harder it is. We have lives. We have responsibilities. Mm. We have things that fill our time.
Mm.
When you were 18, 20, 25, you had 8 hours of your day where you were working or studying or doing things that you had to do to get by. But the rest of your day was all about going out, and you were free and you were open and your mind is malleable and you are happy to have hours of inane conversation with people.
Mm.
And I think the older you get, time becomes precious.
Yeah.
Spending time at home, in your garden, things you didn't do at the age of 20.
No.
Yeah.
Becomes super important. That means there's less time for talking rubbish.
Also, when you were 20, 90% of the people around you were also single.
That's true.
The market gets smaller as you go, because it's
and
it's
you are
not
also happy to waste an evening testing out some weirdo and then walking away the next
still
morning.
Still very happy spending her evenings testing out a weirdo. No. I think that's what got us into the room today.
But I think it comes with more pressure when you're hoping this weirdo is the one. It's a different dynamic completely.
Mm.
I still think we should hit up a Leroy Merlin on like a Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm with you. But the thing is, do we then do multiple hardware stores? So do we do like an hour in this one, an hour in that one?
Let's do it.
And do I do the, I'm sorry, is this for like a door frame?
No. I think we need to, let's not go damsel.
Okay.
That seems like a misrepresentation of everything that's happening with you. Maybe we just go, do you think this bit will be compatible with my, and then we list some equally impressive piece of hardware you already have at home.
Okay.
I think we have to go in there. I need to go, I think like for like, you need to hold your own in that Leroy Merlin.
Got you.
Yeah. Stand your man in that builder's.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to come out with some dude who's...
Yeah.
Ego is far too large and definitely not the kind of man you want to hook up with.
Okay, so we've got hardware stores. Where else am I going in real life? I like this game. This is a fun game. Also, you're going to be my wing woman, by the way.
I don't know where we pick up extraordinary tall gingers.
Because somebody else said to me I should try bowling, and I was like, that sounds like fun. But then I've looked at people who bowl, and I've been like, I don't know. But I'm willing to give it a bash.
Please. I mean, also, I'm going to ask this and it's going to seem very ignorant because the last time I met someone on an app, the year was 2004 and the app was Mixit. So I haven't been in this world. Like Tanya came into my life at the same time Tinder came into everyone else's.
Okay.
But how do the conversations start?
So it depends. I tend to try and say something that's regarding their bio because I hate hi. Hi is not a conversation starter. Mm. I have said to somebody, would you like to plan a heist with me?
Love.
Yeah. Because I also like to test, I do like to test people to see if they were going to have a fun bantering conversation. I've also said things to people like, what is the next thing on your bucket list? Because I want to start a conversation with you. And like I said, hi is not a conversation. And how are you is also not a conversation because boring. What I do find is I'll say, do you want to like plan a heist with me? And they'll go, cool. and that's it. There's no more after that. So now immediately I'm like, I'm not carrying this conversation. Not doing it.
See, here's the thing. If you had to ask me that, I'm going to come up with a really uninspiring answer where someone like Marlowe will immediately bat back something that's entertaining and I'll go for it. You might be the kind of person that ends up falling for someone who's a slow burn. And that way you're never gonna know in that conversation because they switch you off immediately because
they're low effort.
Yeah, but also
it's not always low effort.
You can dominate a conversation. You don't need someone else to also dominate a conversation.
No, this is true, no.
You need someone with like a really well-timed one-liner.
Yes.
That's the guy you need.
Yes.
And that guy is responding with cool. Do you want to plan a heist? Sure.
And then what must I do? Meet you at 3 o'clock at the Builders where we will get all our equipment for this heist.
I can tell you now if I met Tanya on an app, we both would have archived that chat very, very quickly and moved on because that's not how she operates. And I say that knowing full well that you know she holds her own in a conversation.
Yes.
She is sharp as a whip.
Yes.
And has the most deliciously dark little sense of humor. All the things I crave, but they're not going to come out in a little DM.
The one thing that apps and gym and Builder's Warehouse interactions limit is actually getting to chat to someone.
Yeah.
Those are very perfunctory interactions that usually make people put on their best face. And how do I present myself as, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, ma'am. And that's not what you want. So how do you put yourself in positions where you can actually have a relaxed 10-minute conversation with someone?
Why are you asking me? I don't know. Of course, because I am this person, we can't just talk to women only. We've got to talk to the men as well. So Jared and Andre are here to talk about relationships within the gay community and what that is like. And they're going to answer the age-old question, are men the problem? And I'm going to ask them because they're men and that's funny. No, it's not funny. Oh, I love laughing at my own jokes. My biggest thing about dating is that men, why?
Yeah.
Oh, good, you agree with me. Oh, cool. So it's not like a straight thing. It's a men, why?
Well, yes. I'm biased because I've been in a relationship for 15 years.
But yeah, also, you need to leave.
Oh, no, but exactly. I'm like, oh, shame, look at everybody else. You know what I mean? So I get it. I'm like, I am so lucky, so fortunate and so privileged. I'm like, I see what single people go through, women, other gay men.
Thank you.
Sucks because men are a-holes.
So it is men, right?
Yes. It's just the patriarchy. It's like all men except Pedro Pascal. Yeah, he's an exception.
See, we don't know that though. I'm convinced there is like a weird conspiracy theory about pushing Pedro Pascal as the ulti man. And I'm convinced that actually Pedro is, he's maybe probably Dodge. I'm just saying.
I disagree.
I know, controversial. I know. I know.
It's your hot take. I'm thinking any man who's sensitive enough to sort of to be a stickler and an activist for queer rights or whatever will treat a woman damn well. Because if he does that for queer people, then his lady is going to be the queen.
Just let me have this.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, so before, Jared,
yes.
Tell me about your dating life.
Tell me about, well, haven't really dated a lot recently because of the aforementioned...
Men.
Men are awful. It's like I always say, you know, like if Chris Evans wandered in the room and was like, you're the one, Jared. I'd be like, okay, I'm willing to tough it out, the potential pain and heartbreak, because you're you. But I mean, like, it does kind of feel like what's left are a whole bunch of neurotic people with a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
Which is very scary.
Yeah.
Especially when you like go on Grindr and, you know, I've been on Grindr off and on for a while and you like arrive 10 years later back on Grindr and it's the same 5 people in your area who are still single.
Is that, because the thing is, that's exactly my thing on dating apps as well. So I'm often like, f*** this. I'm never doing dating apps again. Mm-hmm. Generally that lasts between 2 days. And sometimes if I'm really like strong, 2 months.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like,
same.
It's been 2 months. I'm going to get back on there because it'll be new. There'll be new options.
Yeah,
and it'll be amazing.
People will come of age.
Refresh. Thank you. Yeah, and suddenly there'll be like better people. And then I go back on and I go, no, I still say no. Stop it. No. So do you think dating apps have ruined dating for people? Do you think like we need to get back to meeting people in real life. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Ew, it's going to come out now. People in real in the actual real life, do you think people can? Do you think COVID ruined it for everybody and we've all lost the ability to actually be together?
I think
like,
you do, because especially online, and I mean, I think gaming are a big attest to that. Like the whole catfish thing, like 60, 70% of the time, you're going to get a catfish because it's somebody who presents a persona, an idea, a construction of themselves. Whereas if you meet them in person, you know, and that's why it often happens. You're like, hey, you got a nice six pack of abs and you seem like a super nice guy. Let's go for coffee. And then you get there and it's like, Frick, who's like, hello, buddy.
You know, Frick could still have a good six pack.
No, he doesn't. You know what I mean? Right. And it's sort of Frick, you know, times 400 kilograms and be like, yeah, it's an old photo. You know what I mean? And you're like, no. But you know, I mean, that's on like sort of, if people I think are more honest on the apps, I think then that sort of lessens their chances. But at the same time, I think that, you know, does open the field to think, you know, for people to go and be like, okay, cool. You really look like somebody who I would like to get to know. Let's go for that coffee thing. So sort of once you get past that first hurdle, I think it's cool. But I think that's why the apps are just way too convenient, because we live in an era of instant gratification. You drive to McDonald's, your food's ready in 15 minutes. You want to have some a McDonald's handhold session, a cuddle, a hookup, a schnog. Let's, you know, jump on an app and do that.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Tell me, Felicity.
Yes, Jared.
Yes.
This feels very like being laid down a garden path, yeah.
Felicity,
yes,
I have
Jared.
A query for you. Is it the same on straight dating apps where you get a whole bunch of faceless profile pics?
So, yes and no. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of photos of cars, because straight men know that women are super into pictures of not their cars, please note. It is a photoshopped picture of a car that they found on the internet of what is, I'm assuming, their dream car.
Yeah.
And as a straight woman, that immediately makes me go, oh my God, we're banging. Like, right now. Because straight men know this. They also know that we love it when you show us pictures of fish.
Fish? Caught fish or just fish in a tank?
Look, I've caught a fish.
Oh, caught a fish.
Because very primarily, you know, women still don't know how to feed themselves. Yes. So as soon as we see a man who has caught something, our basic primal brain goes, he could feed me, because I've been starving for all of my 45 years.
Yeah.
Thank God this man has now arrived to bring this to me.
Also, depending on the kind of woman you are, if you're a woman who doesn't like a clingy man, then at least you know there's at least one Saturday in a month that he'll be gone for a day.
You see, I've never thought about it like
You know what I mean? Maybe sort of, I think that's sort of way up pros and cons.
It's like golf pitches as well. It's like he'll be gone.
Yeah. And also at the same time, because it's an expensive hobby, that means like, okay, so if he can justify fishing and golfing, I can justify shopping and brunch with the girls.
I knew I had you in here for a reason. This is genius.
Seeing Felicity's face light up.
It's all the negotiation.
Well done, I'm swiping right on fishing pictures. So, blank faceless pictures, not necessarily. There's a lot of memes.
Ugh.
And like weird memes. And they generally try and be like slightly romantical memes.
Yeah.
So it'll be like a picture of like, but like the really trash ones. So like a picture of a man holding out a rose to someone and it's like, you know, my love is for you. And I go...
Baby kitten with a rose.
Yeah, baby kitten with a rose.
No, it's just, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I've gotten a lot of inspirational sunsets with quotes.
Like, oh, yes, quotes. Quotes?
Like, only God can judge me, and then the sunset. And I was like, yeah, that's super attractive. That's exactly what you come to Grindr looking
for. How bad of a person are you if you say that, all right? You know what I mean? Like, I'm worthy of judgment. Like, I do so many bad things, but only God can judge me. But just so you know, I'm a bad person.
Yeah. Precisely. You know what I mean? What train wreck are you?
Also,
like, if you're coming here to meet people, we're going to have to see what each other looks like eventually. Why are you so scared?
No. Look away. Look at the sunset. Look at the sunset. Like,
are you scared that your mom is on Grindr making sure you're not on Grindr?
Imagine if your mother isn't Grindr.
That would be hilarious.
Would that be funny?
If my mother was a Grindr,
I was going to say, what if your mother was a Grindr? Would you be okay with that?
The Parkinson's is too bad. She wouldn't be able to swipe.
Neither with my mother. She'd be like, hello, is this chick 60? I'd be like, six pack of milk, please.
Okay, now you've been with somebody for 15 years.
Yeah.
How did you find them, and do they have single straight people in their lives?
They used to. Unfortunately, they don't anymore because they live and work overseas most of the time. So, like, those friendships, and that's, I think, an unfortunate thing. Sort of as soon as those single straight people, you know, sort of get settled in their relationships, start getting married, have kids, emigrate and whatever, a lot of those sort of fizzle out and fall away.
Yeah.
We met at Varsity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we lost touch for a few years, and then we sort of reconnected again, became best friends, and then about a year and a half later of just having a slight casual arrangement, our friends are like, guys, it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and acts like a duck. And we're like, no, we don't want to get hurt or hurt each other. We're just buddies, you know? We're just an arrangement. And they're like, stop it. You've got the option of seeing other people, and yet you're always together. You're joined at the freaking hip, so come on. And we're like, I guess we are a couple. Do you want to get a house together? And he's like, yeah, okay, cool.
I love this
shit. You're living my dream.
Literally, we were best friends. Yeah. And then we decided, oh, no, we can't.
No, but it sort of, it comes from a very low point, because literally not too far from here is a complex where my ex and I stayed. And after we broke up, a new partner, just we were working together, we were in some similar professional field, he came over one night. And I said to him, oh, my relationship's falling apart, blah, 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 blah. I can't do this again. I was 27. it's just too much. And he's like, I got nothing for you. My life is also just as f***ed up as yours. Let's just drink and smoke together and watch TV. And I'm like, I love you. You know what I mean? And that's sort of where the friendship established, because you're both like, I got nothing for you. You're not like, oh, I'll take care of you. I'll be your hero. I'll rescue you. It's like, dude, we're both equally f***ed. Let's just get through this.
Do you think it's easier for gay men to just be like, listen, so we're into each other and we're going to bang right now, and then we'll see where it goes from there. And do you think that possibly, because you guys both have straight friends, do you think that women make sex complicated, or do you think that men make sex complicated?
Oh my God, I think sex is complicated for everybody. But, like, there is. So I'm going to come clean here. I've been on a lot of first dates where I've had sex with the person, which is not to say that I'm easy. Because what even Slut. Does that mean? What even does that mean? It's just that if the vibe is right,
yeah.
I'm not opposed to that, because I don't really have a preconceived idea. And I think that for many, 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 many years, women have been told that, like, you know, don't make it easy for the man, because... Mm. And, like, granted, there's a reason for that, because a lot of men just kind of want sex and not mm-hmm. a full long-term relationship. So I think if you wait, it can be easier in the long term if you're trying to build that kind of relationship. But if you're both men and you're just kind of like feeling it, it's easier to just do it then and there. Do I do it with everybody I go on a first date with? No. If I'm not feeling the vibe, I'm like, no, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to. So I'm not going to. But I don't have that like note at the back of my mind, like, this isn't the third date.
Got you. Got you. Yeah.
I also think that there's always this inherent fear among straight people that, you know, that you could accidentally get pregnant, etc. But I think as a society, we have dealt with that. And at the same time, you know, there's a reason why the word sexual is in our different tropes, even heterosexual.
Mm.
I think that because society sort of has, you know, put that expectation on straight people, you know, as soon as you have sex, it's out of wedlock, you know, you might have kids, it's wrong, you should be at least in a relationship, etc. Screw that. We live in the 21st century. We have physical needs. If society stops expecting you to develop the feels as soon as someone sticks it in you, you know, even a few times, then maybe that could be a much more, you know, because that pressure that you put on yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I just have an itch to scratch. And again, as Jared said, you know, I think gay men understand that in each other. I wish straight people would as well. You know, men and women.
Yeah.
Because a lot of men go, oh, she wants to hump me. I must now marry her and be a provider and a protector. No, dude, she's just using you for one night.
Or she's a slut.
All that, you know, yeah. what I mean? I'm like, let's do away with that. There's nothing wrong, you know, with exploring your sexual needs. I mean, one of the things that my ex said to me is like, I'm very impressed by your slutty past. It explains why you're so good in bed. So I was like, okay, that's one way of looking of it, about it. You know, the only thing is
Dame Maggie Smith?
No. I'm trying to keep his anonymity, so it's as far removed from his persona and accent as possible. You know, but then the drawback is then, but he considered himself to be quite, you know, conservative, etc. And then as soon as we broke up, he went to go and sleep with every single one of my one night stands, you know, that he knew that he ever met.
He didn't.
Because he wanted some of that experience. And I was like, oh, but okay. Reason number 745 why we're not working.
That is the weirdest thing to do.
It's if we work in entertainment, he's an agent, you know what I mean? There's new hot impressionable boys coming in. Oh, look, a 22-year-old who thinks a fat balding man in his 40s is attractive. Yeah, sure, he's got a crush on you.
Oh my God. I think also the gay community is somewhat smaller than the heterosexual community. So yeah. The chances are that you'll know people in common is greater.
Often.
Like, often. Yeah.
When I see all my single friends drop their heads like group cash, I'm like, oh, there's someone from a hookup app here, isn't there? I see where you're hiding.
Me at the last birthday party that somebody we know in common. had. Yeah, so I was like, oh, two of them in one room.
If you see a suspicious looking gay guy at a gathering dodging a lot of people hiding in a corner, you know there's a hookup somewhere.
Okay.
I just asked him, which one is it?
Do you find that there are labels though? So I was looking at this weird article the other day, and it was this whole like the alpha man and then the omega man and then the beta man and then the man and then the man. And I was like, it made me really uncomfortable in a sense, like I do not want to label men at all because I hate the thought of somebody's labeling me and going like, oh, she must be a trad wife or she is a feminist or she is a
wag.
Or whatever it is.
What is a wag?
Wives and girlfriends of sports stars.
Oh.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I don't play sports because I'm gay.
Didn't you watch football as well?
No. Oh, I did.
The closest we get to soccer.
But do you find that there are labels given to men in general where it's like, for me personally, I sometimes think like it's men giving themselves these labels because women aren't walking around going, he is an alpha man, because that's weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to say. Just coming out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, that feels funny.
That's wrong.
But men are giving other men these labels and then you either have to live up or live down to these particular labels. But somehow, as a woman, I feel like I now need to take responsibility for that and help you work through this process. And I really don't want to be a rehabilitation center for men and their baggage and their emotions. Because I get it. We all have trauma.
But
we all have
now.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But like I can't help you sort out your trauma if you're not even willing to first acknowledge that you have the trauma, don't have the words to be able to say, this is my trauma, and then want me to fix it. Like, I've got three children and two dogs and three cats.
And yourself.
And myself. That's a lot of work, guys, that I have to do on a daily basis. Why is it that there is this expectation that somebody will come in and like, they'll be so keen and willing to take on all this baggage?
I think that's so unrealistic. And I think such, like, if you believe that you have all your ducks in a row, that you have all your faculties together, like so much so that you can fix someone else, you know, or deal with their issues, I have a big problem with that because I find it very dishonest.
Mm.
I also think that men in general and the patriarchy are going through a crisis because manness, masculinity is being challenged and being interrogated from all angles because of the way that patriarchy looks down upon anything that is other, whether that is, you know, on the feminine or whether it's on queerness. But I think that's why men feeling threatened. They're like, I need to be a stronger man. I need to be more of a provider. That's why I'm inventing this alpha male. I'm going to get my life together and whatever else. I'm like, dude, relax, calm down. A woman would appreciate and respect you a lot more if you're honest with her instead of trying to live up to this standard that we have created, which is insurmountable. You know, and I'm like, oh no, I'm not an alpha male, I'm an omega male. What are we, a vitamin? But you're a male.
But that's the thing, I'm like,
I agree completely.
The labels and just the pressure. And also, you know, for me, I get me, and Jared, you know this about me. I'm in this weird kind of box where I'm like, I don't want to be provided for necessarily, but I want to be provided for, if makes any sense. So I want to be with someone that actually brings something valuable into my space. I can provide my own food. No fishing pictures. I can provide my own car. I drive, guys. I've got a car. Don't worry. I can provide my own house. But I think what it's done in the process is that it's emasculated a lot of men because they're kind of going, so the one thing you want from me is the one thing I can't give you, which is emotional stability.
100%, because I don't have it. I don't have a narrative to deal with it. I've been told my only job is to not be emotional and to just provide it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just that so is sad.
Yes.
It's so sad.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it means you can't see value in yourself beyond what you can provide other people.
Yes. Mm.
And it's like, no, you're valuable. You don't have to be so lost.
No.
Because women can provide for themselves. It just means that if a woman can support herself and live a happy life without you, when she chooses you, it's because she really loves you and wants you and sees sees value in you and wants it in her life and her space.
You need to be needed.
Yeah, yeah. Not because
you've
got
something.
We're not
here to validate each other's existence. We're here to complement each other and figure this thing out together. You know what I mean? Like, so if I have a partner who I know has that kind of stuff taken care of, that takes a lot of pressure off. But that also creates space for us to do something together, to grow something together. You know, that leaves a collab space for us, you know, to learn and to develop stuff, you know. And I think that is kind of that sweet spot in the middle where they that pressure is off. We go, we're recognizing the differences and the similarities in each other. But you know what? I don't want somebody to carry me on their hands. I don't want to have the pressure of carrying someone on their hands. Let's just hold hands and figure this shit out together.
Yeah.
That's what, in my opinion, I think that's what it's supposed to be. Not this agency, power, no power kind of thing. Because that for me is very patriarchal, very modernist, very old school, and entrenched in still a lot of societal cultures, religions, etc. And that's what I think we need to get rid of.
Yeah, absolutely. So, oh, God, Jared, you're still dating.
I mean, that's, yeah.
What are you looking for?
A man.
Okay. Well.
A provider.
There's a lot of those.
Thank you.
You know, like, I think something very similar to you, somebody to pay half the rent would be really nice because being a single person is tough.
Yeah, it's expensive.
It's very tough,
yeah.
Even without the children.
Yeah.
But I do kind of just, I would love to build a life with somebody. So somebody who's, they don't need to be wildly artistic or spectacularly good looking, which we all would love, I think. But yeah, somebody who's kind, somebody who's self-aware. Somebody with great muscle tone.
Why did you suddenly get very, like, great muscle tone?
Because I suddenly became very aware of being recorded and that people may hear this.
Fitting yourself
and so
out
if
there.
You're out there, kind, generous, smart.
Great muscle tone.
Not funnier than me.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Oh, okay.
I don't want a competitive relationship. They must know I'm funnier than them.
That is
they can be smarter than me, but I mean, yeah, if we're both cracking one-liners, you don't, my spotlight.
No, absolutely. Very exhausting.
Yeah, yeah. Exhausting.
I'm with you with
exactly,
that.
Well,
exactly.
You know what I'm talking
no,
about.
I've always said, like, there can only be one star in the relationship, and that's me.
Yes.
And you must be very happy in the shadows.
Yeah.
Very happy in the shadows. Even wear a cape, that'd be fun. But in the shadows.
Yes. Dramatic. Dracula.
What would your advice be to people out there who are looking? People out there who are thinking, I'm not going to give up in this, because I know for so many of us, it literally is a case of, I'm not doing this anymore. Mm. I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And then literally about an hour later, you'll see someone hiding and be like, maybe I'm doing for the main.
Story of my life.
But what is your advice to people out there who don't want to get off the stupid train that just keeps on going? Mm. Because I also see people who are like, I'm 65 and I'm happily single. And I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, 65 and single.
Oh, God. Okay, sure. Is that my journey? So, I mean, do we all just give up?
Oh, God, yeah. I'm not a professor of relationships, so I don't know.
I think anybody is. But yeah. I think if you make that sort of, you know, like such an objective in your life, you know, sort of the same way you were like, I need to lose weight. You know, I think anything that you put immense pressure on yourself to achieve, I think it's going to give it a hard time. I'm like, go with the flow, but don't put pressure on yourself. Like, I need to find someone, you know, for long term who needs to tick this box. Okay, no, but now they only tick so many boxes and so few boxes, etc. Just be like, you know, let's just let life throw itself at me and see if there's somebody I vibe with. Let's see where that goes. It could be a friendship. It could be a temporary thing. It could just be a physical thing, or it could be a long term relationship. Mm. Take it day by day. Don't have these sort of long term expectations because you're not going to live up to theirs. They're not going to live up to yours. So
I don't like that advice. Thank you. Moving on.
Sorry.
Do you know what that advice is? That's the advice of people who are in relationships.
I know.
Fucking worse.
I'm sorry. I don't want to come across as
that. You say things like, when you're not looking is when they'll come. I'm like, you're yellow.
I have been not looking for.
Exactly. I've literally blinded myself, okay? With acid, like this. I see no one. I see no one. I don't see anyone. Hello.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, fine. Fair I point, hear you point. For your advice, whatever.
It's very sensible advice.
It might not be. I am in a relationship, so my information could be highly outdated.
No, you're probably right, and that's what makes it even worse. Like, people often say,
how
like,
do you get something you want without pretending not to want it?
I also like my alone time. So the fact that my partner isn't home for 6 to 10 weeks at a time, you know, and I still retain that independence as if I'm a single person, I think sometimes it bothers me, you know, because I have that partner and I'm in a group setting, but my partner's not there to experience something with me. But then I'm sitting next to my single friend, you know, and thinking, you know what, you know, I'm very much privileged because, you know, they don't have anybody, period, you know, whatever. I'm not trying to feel sorry for you. This is coming across very wrong.
Oh, no.
No, but I'm like, but look, you know, at the same time, you know, Jared's happy. He's not like, oh, I need to find someone. Like, some of my friends were obsessed. They couldn't come to a braai or a thing without having the scanner and the radar on all the time.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, you look at Jared.
My scanner and radar's on all the time. It's just very subtle.
Yeah, very
well practiced. Nothing for me here. Just get drunk.
But you know what I mean? Exactly why. So, you know what I mean? Like, Jared's like, no, I'll not stop looking. I'm like, calm down, have a drink, you know? And that's what Jared does. So I'm like,
your advice is to be an alcoholic and then...
Well, my advice is to always drink, not be an alcoholic. I mean,
I love that because the difference between always drinking and being an alcoholic. Okay.
It's a matter of diagnosis.
Depends on who you are.
So advice, you say... I mean, I haven't found someone. I think one thing that held me back after my longest relationship ended was that because it was so traumatic and the kind of realization that I had was that I'd given so much of myself up in that relationship without even realizing it, because you're like, oh, it's a relationship. Let's grow together. Let me accommodate you. You accommodate me, perhaps less so. That I'd given up so much of myself, I felt so lost when that relationship ended that I kind of made this vow to myself and I was like, I'm not going to do this again unless it's worth it.
Got you.
And that's put this kind of pressure, like Andrew was talking about, on the next person I meet.
Got
and so
you.
Every time I meet somebody and I go on a couple of dates with them and they do something that is unexpected or is like a red flag, but not even a red flag, you know, just something that previously I'd made a note of in my head.
Got
like,
you.
Oh, he used to do this. It sours the relationship and any potential that it could have for me because I'm falling back on, oh, I got really hurt by that relationship.
Got you.
This behavior reminds me of that relationship.
So before I get hurt again, let me stop it.
This isn't going to work. Mm. You know, it's not perfect, which I think in the last couple of years, I'm like, actually, that's a very surefire way to make yourself single forever, because you can find something wrong in anybody.
I mean, except for me. Okay. So guess what, guys? Dating is a mess no matter who you're dating and who you're attracted to. And really, as people, we're all just looking for the same thing. But what I have learned in both these conversations is that you are that age-old thing about people you sometimes just become friends with and then realize that actually we're more than friends, but it's also because you're able to be open and honest with each other from the get-go without the pressure. This is what we should maybe be looking at or looking for. I don't like it when the clichés are right. I really don't. But clichés are clichés for a reason. So I am going to quickly find myself a male best friend and then get married in a year. Jokes.